Our scripture reading is from Acts chapter 9, verses 36 through 42. At Joppa there was a certain disciple named Tabitha, which is translated Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and charitable deeds which she did. But it happened in those days that she became sick and died. When they had washed her, they laid her in an upper room. And since Lydda was near Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent two men to him, imploring him not to delay in coming to them. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he had come, they brought him to the upper room, and all the widows stood by him weeping, showing the tunics and garments which Dorcas had made while she was with them. But Peter put them all out and knelt down and prayed. And turning to the body, he said, "Tabitha, arise." And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. Then he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when he had called the saints and widows, he presented her alive. And it became known throughout all Joppa, and many believed on the Lord.
Tabitha, or Dorcas, did some good deeds in her life. The Bible tells us in the Bible reading just now that the things she did made an impression on the people around her, and when she died, they mourned her, talking about the good deeds that she did, the things that she did for others, and that's a good thing. We often think about people after they pass away and the good deeds they've done in their life, the good life they've lived, and that's good. This morning we begin our study in our first lesson about doing good. Galatians chapter 6 verses 1 through 10 talks about the fact that as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good to all men, especially to the household of faith. Doing good is what God wants me to do. Doing good is what He wants you to do. Doing good means that we're doing what God asks of us. Because God is good. God is true and God is real and God is right. God cannot lie. God's word is true. So if we follow the truth will lead us to do things that are good. We have options, as we talked about this morning, to either do evil or do good. And so being a good person is important. Now just being a good person is not good enough. Acts chapter 10 talks about the fact that Cornelius was a good man. He was a good man. He gave alms to the people. He prayed to God always. And here's a man that needed to hear the gospel, the good news, so he could confess Christ, repent of his sins, and be baptized. He was a good man, and he feared God. So being good is one thing, but obeying God with goodness is another thing. So there's such a thing as being morally good. And there's such a thing as to be as spiritually attuned to God and being morally good because we're following the spiritual leads of God. And that's where we want to be. Good, not just morally, but good in the sight of God. If we are good, excuse me. If we are good, I'm going to cough some, I'm afraid. If we are good in the eyes of God, in the eyes of other people, it's because we're doing the thing that's right in the sight of God. And so we look at the example of Dorcas or Tabitha that we read about in Acts chapter 9 and see the impact that doing good has on others. This morning I want to continue and talk about doing good. This morning we covered several points about what the Bible says concerning our life and the lives of men and women on this earth that we should be doing good. That the Bible teaches that the children of God are to be good people. The Bible emphasizes that we're to be a good example. Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. The Bible emphasizes the need for doing good to others. Galatians chapter 6. In Romans 12, I hope to get through this lesson. I'm not sick. This cough keeps hanging on. I'm sorry. But anyway, we talked about Romans 12, that emphasizes the need for good behavior. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what's that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So doing good is the essence of what we are as Christians. 3 John verses 11 and 12 talked about the importance of doing good and not doing evil. And so as we think about the things that are good, we're going to look at some other examples this morning and follow along that are shown in the New Testament. Jesus is the good example. We talked about him briefly this morning, but let's look now at Jesus and some examples of him doing good. As a matter of fact, in Acts chapter 10, verse 38, the Bible teaches that he obeyed God. He did the Father's will. He went about doing good. So Jesus set the example for us to follow by doing good. He didn't just come and profess goodness in the lives of people. He didn't just come and ask or require that others should do good also. He actually lived it out in his life. He went about doing good. When you think about the phrase "went about doing good," it brings to mind the fact that it was something that he did on a continual basis. It was part of his life. He lived for doing good. And so, in my life, am I the type of person that occasionally I do things that are good? Or maybe certain times I try to put emphasis on doing good things? That's not the right approach. The approach would be that I would want to be consistent in doing good. Going about doing good. Jesus went about doing good. He went about doing good. If you look to Matthew chapter 15, we see that certainly he did good because he was a compassionate man. He cared about others. And while he was on earth, he helped other people in various ways. Matthew chapter 15, beginning in verse 29, we're going to read through verse 31. And departing from there, Jesus went along by the Sea of Galilee, and having gone up to the mountain, he was sitting there. And great multitudes came to him, bringing with them those who were lame, crippled, blind, dumb, and many others. And they laid them down at his feet, and he healed them. So that the multitude marveled as they saw the dumb speaking, the crippled restored, the lame walking, and the blind seeing, and they glorified the God of Israel. We know Jesus had the power to heal, to help others, and he did that. We don't have that power that he had to do that today, but we do have the power to do good, to see the needs of others, and help them in the way that we have the ability to help them. And that's our part in doing good today, that we would have that attitude that we want to do good to those who have need, that we want to do good to those with whom we come in contact when they have problems. We want to help them with that. And the Bible teaches we need to do that. We go back to Galatians 6 again. If a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one the spirit of meekness, considering your own self, lest you also be tempted. So doing good for those that have fallen, for those that have not yet, not yet been baptized into Christ, to bring them to Christ. Doing good for helping those around us that have need for various things, various reasons. Jesus did good in many ways. Jesus set the example of doing good by doing the will of the Father while he was on earth. He not only did those things we talked about in Matthew 15 of helping and healing others, the lame to walk, the blind to see, helping those people that had need in that respect, but he came to help everyone spiritually in the fact that he came to save our souls. And he came and did good by giving his life for me and for you and for everyone. John chapter 5 and verse 30 talks about the fact that Jesus is one who came to do the will of the Father, and he did the will of the Father, and in doing that, he gave his life for all. Matthew chapter 20 and verse 28. just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. So Jesus set the example of doing good by giving his life for us, for each and every one. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2. Here we see that Jesus set an example of doing good in the fact that he did the things that were right in the sight of God, but he set the example of one who lived a life that was sinless. So Jesus set the example that we can follow. We may not be able to attain perfection because we're human, but as a man, he lived on this earth without sin. And so he set that perfect example for us. 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning of verse 21. For you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. And while being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. And he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness, for by his wounds you were healed. You see, we needed the good example and perfect example of Jesus, because there in verse 25 it says, for you were continually going astray like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and guarding of your souls. So Jesus can get us in a good condition by bringing us to the terms of salvation, and when we obey it by faith, then when we follow him, he can keep us in a good position in life for doing good, because he's the guarding of our soul. So he set the example, he set the pattern, he left his will and his way. When the Holy Spirit, as Adam mentioned in his prayer this morning, when Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to search the mind of God, and he revealed it to inspired men, we have the will of God before us, and if we obey it, we can do good. We can do good. Well, what about us today? What kind of example am I setting for other people? What kind of example are you setting? We think about the ones we've mentioned already, and especially Jesus and the example he set. What kind of example am I being? Am I doing good in my life? It will be up to me, and it'll be up to you to answer that question for yourself, because you know your heart and I know my heart. But God knows all of our hearts. He knows all of our intents. He knows where we're at, what we're doing, the reason we're doing it. So are we set on doing good? Let's look at a few other Bible examples this morning of those who did good in the Bible. And there could be an entire series on this, and I'm hoping we can finish this lesson up this morning. If not, then we'll have one more lesson, the Lord's willing, next Sunday morning on doing good. We may not get to the examples that I'd like to discuss. If not, we'll carry it into that, the Lord's willing, next week. But another example of those who did good is a Samaritan. If you will, Luke chapter 10. Matter of fact, Jesus gives this illustration. He gives this example of this Samaritan. And he does this in the terms of showing the Jews, the Pharisees and the scribes, that, hey, you better not think too highly of yourself because you're religious or because you're the people of God. You need to realize that the basics is that you need to be doing good, and you do good to those whomever you come in contact with, not just picking and choosing. Because he gave this example of doing good, and look what the Samaritan did. Luke chapter 10, verses 30 through 37. Jesus replied and said, a certain man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers, and they stripped him and beat him and went off, leaving him half dead. And by chance, a certain priest was going down on that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Now we have read this numerous times from the pulpit, and you've read it numerous times over the years, and we know that Jesus is setting up the example for these people to let them know that, hey, look, just because some person has a certain name in front of their name or a certain notation in front of their name does not make that person necessarily good. Notice here, there was a certain priest. Well, a priest in that day and time wasn't the Jewish priest. They were the ones that we know what they did for the Israelites, for the children of God, for the Jews, for Israel and Judah, the priesthood. And the priest had a place. And they were supposed to be basically supported by the people of the offerings. They lived off the priesthood, and they were supposed to be good people. And this example Jesus shows that you can be someone maybe that others note as being a person of religion, but you may not be doing good if you don't do the basics. So he goes down, he says, here is this man went down, he was robbed and left half dead, and a certain priest was going down on that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Jesus is pointing out that when we see something that needs to be done, when we see something that we can do to help with, when there's a good to be done and we just ignore it and try to bypass it and sidestep it, that's not the right thing to do. We need to be doing good. So we pointed this out about this priest. And so he saw him and he passed by on the other side of the road. So he went out of his way. Well, he went on the other side of the road, so he didn't have to do good for this man. But then the next example is a Levite. Verse 32 of Luke chapter 10. And likewise, a Levite also, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. So both of them saw the man that had been beaten. How bad had he been beaten? Well, he fell among robbers, and they stripped him and beat him and went off, leaving him half dead. Verse 30 says. Well, the priest comes along, and he sees him. He goes on the other side of the road. The Levite comes along, and he sees him, and he goes on the other side of the road. So Jesus is driving home a point that there was some good to be done here to help this man. But neither of these people that were, to the Jews, dignified, a priest and a Levite, well, they didn't do good. But he goes on to say now, here comes this Samaritan, which the Jews felt like they had no relationship with, didn't want to have anything to do with the Samaritans. Jesus gives the illustration, well, here's a Samaritan. You Jews, you kind of look down your nose to everybody, and that's a Samaria. And so, but let me show you, this man did good. He's your neighbor. Because they'd ask him, who's your neighbor? Well, the priest could have been his neighbor. The Levite could have been his neighbor, should have been his neighbor, and may have been his neighbor, but you can be someone's neighbor and not be a neighbor to them. That's what happened here. But here's this Samaritan. A certain Samaritan, verse 33, was on a journey, came upon him, and when he saw him, you know, the Lord is telling me something in this verse. He's telling you something in this verse, because this Samaritan comes along, and when he saw the man that had been beaten and left half dead, it says. Robbed and beaten. What was the difference in the priest and the Levite and this Samaritan? He had compassion on him. So doing good for others means that I need to have a heart of compassion. I need to develop a heart within me, a chain of thought, that I care about the needs of others, that I'm able to identify the needs of others, that I'm willing to offer my help for the needs of others. Here's this Levite and this priest that passed by. But a certain Samaritan who was on a journey came upon him, and when he saw him, he felt compassion. Well, he not only felt compassion, but that led him to do good. Compassion's a good thing. And he came to him, verse 34, and bandaged up his wounds, pouring oil and wine on them. And he put him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. That was a good thing to do, I'd say. And Jesus is saying it was a good thing that he did this. Not only did he do that, but on the next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I return, I will repay you. Then we get into the good part here when Jesus says in verse 36, which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell into the robber's hands? And he said, the one who showed mercy toward him. And Jesus said to him, go and do the same. I'd like to be a good person. I know you want to be a good person, and I believe you are all good people. But if I really want to be a good person, then I need to adhere to the rules of God, believe what He would want me to do, and take steps toward doing it every day and work toward doing it better every day. And then I need to be able to put into action what God wants me to do, have compassion. And when I see someone, a brother or a sister, that I can help in some way, it may be a song, it may be a word, it may be an attaboy or attagirl, it may be whatever that's good, I ought to be doing it. Because we live in a world where there's so much that goes on that's wrong. And the world and its people, that's always been that way, and it'll always be that way as long as this earth stands. But God wants people to be good. It talks about the fact that there's few people that's going to make that choice to really do good in their life, to choose that way of goodness. Look with me, if you will, to Matthew chapter 7. Let's read just a couple of verses, and we're going to draw our lesson to a close and make a note on this lesson and resume there, the Lord's willing, next Sunday morning for one more lesson. But in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus talked about the choices. The fact that mankind has a choice. You and I have a choice. Are we going to choose good or bad? The easy way out, or we're going to choose the way that may take some effort on our part. And obeying God is going to take some effort on our part. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and many are those who enter by it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow and leads to life, and few are those who find it. Let's look at that again. What about the good way? The gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and few are there those who find it. So reckon why it is that very few people really do good, because it's a narrow path to walk. There are restrictions. There are rules to follow. There are things to be done, and we need to be busy doing it. There are things to be refrained from that are wrong, and we need to be busy refraining from and not doing them so we can do good. It's a narrow path. But God says that we can travel it if we choose to do good. Beware, He says in verse 15, of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. So we need to choose God's way. Don't be deceived by things that are not according to God or things that are not according to the truth. Follow that which is right, which is God. Follow His word, which is right. It is truth. Follow that which is good. Make the choice. I've got the choice, and you have the choice in our life today to do good or not. I'm thankful that you are doing good. I mentioned in the first service this morning, so many things the last couple of weeks that my wife and I were talking about just a couple of days ago, all the good that was done just by you brothers and sisters, the calls, the text, the food, the thoughts, the prayers are good things. Let's continue to do those good things. Let's continue to do good. But we've got to get on the path of obeying God, and those things are part of obeying God. So if you're here this morning, my friend, you haven't been baptized into Christ, then turn to the good way. Turn to God. Believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Confess Him. Repent of your sins and be baptized. And He'll make you His child. And you can walk in the good way after that. Walk in the straight and narrow, following His will and His way, and doing good and not evil. Perhaps you're here this morning and Things haven't been what they ought to be in your life. Maybe you need the prayers of the brethren. If that be the case, then we'll be glad to pray with you and for you. And the good thing is that God will accept your repentance. He'll accept your confession. And when you pray and we pray, He will forgive you of your sins. And that's a good thing. So this morning, if you're subject, please come while Jason leads us in the invitation song.